welcome to the show, Ray Nadison from Lethbridge Wines.
How are you, son?
Lethbridge is down at the Moorabool Valley. It's a lovely part of the world down there.
Well, I like it. Yeah, it's a great place. We're growing grapes. I think we're, you know, it's a beautiful, cool environment. I mean, I woke up this morning at 5 to start work, and it was, I think it was 6 or 7 degrees. Very, very cool mornings, and then nice and sunny and bright now. So it's good.
So, and that's perfect, isn't it, for vines? They can have a rest overnight, and then they can get out in the sun in the daytime.
Yeah, look, it's. I mean, it took us 3 years to sort of look for the right spot to grow, you know, Pinot and Chardonnay. And what one of the things you really like to have is that real change in day and night temperatures, because what that does is it retains really nice natural acidity. Because it's just like you said, the grapes have a chance to have a bit of a rest at night, so they're not using up. Using up energy and using up acidity, so it's left in the grapes for us to, you know, make really interesting wines. Mm.
How long have you been at it? These now, now.
Wow. Seems like yeah. So
10 years would there be or more?
It's nearly 30 years.
Oh, there you go.
So, yeah. it's my 28th vintage. So
it's because you look so young, Ray. That's the thing.
Oh well, that's a very kind thing to say, but but nonetheless, my knees and back tell me that I'm not that young. So, but no. It's been a long journey actually. Also, I started fairly young, I think. You know, Marie and I, once we sort of, you know, finished our PhDs, we sort of thought to ourselves, what else can we do as well as, you know, do research? Mm. And so at the age of, I think, 27, we started thinking about this sort of wine project, and we actually started at 30. So so that is, you know, quite a while ago now.
And so the science you studied, to the science you now doing in the lab with your wines is slightly different, but probably along kind of, I don't know, starting point starts the same, I guess.
Not really. I mean, like I'm a neuroscientist by trade. Though Marie is a medicinal chemist, we approach wine from a slightly different point of view. I mean, like, yes, I think we are, you know, years of training in science and also work in science has left an indelible mark, and I think we have high respect for science, and we have a fairly, you know, reasonable understanding of how things may work, which I guess lets us play a little bit closer to the edge, and therefore we make wines without, you know, a huge sort of additions of things, or, you know, what would be, you know, measuring things all the time, because we kind of know what will happen.
What one change will do down the track.
I guess we having a sort of deeper understanding of science allows us to sort of play outside the rules a little bit, because, you know, the rules are more prescriptive.
Safer.
for people that need to play without knowledge.
Okay.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, I do. I understand exactly what you're saying. It's fascinating, and I mean, you know, 30 years making wine, this is your norm now. And so you've got the range has expanded, and I'm always love the names that you come up with, and you talk about wine personalities. Can we chat a little bit about that? And you,
Of course. So obviously, we started with Lethbridge, which is the sort of core thing we do, and Lethbridge is fundamentally varietal wines made from single sites, or are expressions of regions. So, for instance, you know, we make a multi-site, multi-vineyard, I should say, Geelong Pinot Noir, but it talks about Geelong, you know, so that's the sort of thing. So if you think about Lethbridge, it's Let me think. But the analogy I like is a musical analogy. I'm very fond of music, and so the thing about Lethbridge is classical music. It's like an instrument. You know, for instance, Pinot Noir. It would be a piece of music. So you know that would be a vineyard or a region. So that would be, you know, say, you know, let's use this analogy. So, you know, if it was Pinot Noir, it's like a cello. If it's a piece of music, it might be the Bach Cello Suite. And you should be able to tell that by listening or tasting the wine. You should be able to say that's Pinot from Geelong. And then the last part, and I think this is the most important part to some extent, is that you'd be able to tell who made it, the player.
The composer.
Well, not so much the composer, because that would be...
The composer is the vineyard, saying.
Yeah, the composer is the vineyard, or the piece of music is the vineyard, but the player. So, for instance, if you were listening to a cello suite by Bach, so it's obviously cello and it's Bach, but the thing is, if it was Anna Balsamo playing it or it was Yo-Yo Ma playing it, their phrasing is different. I have, you know, as it turns out, I have three or four different versions of that piece of music, and I like them all because they all have different interpretations, slightly different feel. And I think about that the way I make wine, is that the player or the maker has that ability to put a little bit of their fingerprint, but not so much so that it masks the instrument or the or the place.
Yeah, right. So then in this analogy, you're just the conductor then, not just, but you are the conductor.
Conductor potentially, but or in, you know, more potentially, I think, yeah, conductor or player, you know, yeah, like, yeah, you know, the soloist.
Love it. thank you. So people will get that. So further on this, the personalities, obviously.
So that's Lethbridge. And then if you look, and if you, you know, if you think about Lethbridge in that way, then I suppose we can continue with this musical analogy a little bit. Between Five Bells is the other sort of project that I have, you know, another sort of wine personality, let's say. And I think about Between Five Bells, which is wines which I make to practice freedom. What do I mean by that? When you think about, you know, going back to Lethbridge, you know, it's about this classical playing. But the thing about classical playing is that you can, you know, you can sing Tosca every night and it gets a bit tedious. But if you actually remember to play a little bit, and that's why, you know, if your musicians will jam. Think about Between Five Bells as me jamming, you know, so me having a bit of fun. I can play a lot of instruments. You know, I make 17 varieties. But Between Five Bells is where I have a bit of a play, you know, where I kind of allow that total sort of freedom and experimentation, and I will... Every year, each wine is different. You know, it'll be made of different grapes. It'll be made with different technique. And I don't have a set idea of what I'm doing.
Which is literally what that jamming analogy is talking about, isn't it? It's like there's no sheet of music that you're playing. You're playing by feel in a way.
In fact, I only have a couple of rules with Between Five Bells. One is I don't have a preconception to start off with. And I have to finish that wine within 6 weeks. Like, there is no back blending. There's no messing around. It is completely finished within the 6 weeks of vintage. And that's kind of that impromptu, that sort of...
Yeah.
Kind of...
At that point, that's what it's going to be, rather than keep thinking too much about it.
Absolutely. Because the thing about it is I try and approach all my winemaking and that idea of flow, you know, so that in flow you can be the most creative because you're not overthinking, you're not overanalyzing, you're not
second guessing all that stuff.
Second guessing, exactly. You know, you're actually, it's coming out of you, you know, and that's how I like to make it anyway.
Now, 17 varietals. We've had a question from Kim about your Gamay.
Yep.
Yep. How's it going, and what style are you looking for?
Well, Gamay is really beautiful, great to work with. I planted it 10 years ago, and we made our first vintage, I think, in 2021, so it took a few years to grow. It's on our site at Lethbridge itself. The style, I guess, we're working towards is more of that, more European. So, yes, it's going to have juicy fruit, et cetera, et cetera, but it should have tannin and it should have savouriness. So you will find our Gamay perhaps made more in a cru style than Nouveau. So mm-hmm. It has, you know, partial carbonic maceration, it's aged in oak for a period of time, et cetera, et cetera. I was lucky enough, actually, in 22, I actually went over to Beaujolais. One of my winemaking students actually went back to Beaujolais and set up a domain in Morgon. And he kindly invited me back over to France to work with a parcel of fruit. So I actually got to make myself some cru Renier in his winery, which was 100-year-old vines, all grown biodynamically. I got to make it in 22. And it was really cool, actually. I made it there. I actually had a little sign that said, you know, please don't touch my wine, because there was a lot of French eye-rolling going on.
You're doing it wrong.
Yeah, that's not the way my mother makes it. And I'm going, yeah, I'm fairly sure I don't look like your mother. it was quite fun, actually, because I looked at it and I approached it kind of, in the way that I felt that I need to make it. And so instead of using, you know, full carbonic maceration, I used partial carbonic maceration, et cetera. But then I aged it in oak, and then I was actually in Europe for a couple of months, so I sort of flicked back and forwards checking on my wine. And then once it was kind of completed, I put it into a vessel and sent it home. And then I finished its maturation at home and bottled it under the more reliable screw cap. Mm-hmm. And so you can actually see a pair of wines actually will be coming out in a few months' time. There'll be a cru Renier and a Lethbridge Gamay from 22.
Wow. So is that something we need to come down and visit to try those?
Yeah, you can. You can definitely do that. We're going to be releasing it out into the general market, so it'll be mainly in restaurants, of course. Right. Our distributors are Bibendum, and so, you know, people can ask their various merchants to see if they can talk to Bibendum about it. There'll be a very limited amount. I only made about 1,000 litres, so that's about 1,300 bottles of each of those wines.
Right, wow. I do see your wines at restaurants a lot, so they're doing a good job. And obviously, it's something that the sommeliers are really keen on, you know, because there's a quality delivered each time.
I guess the thing is, we have always sort of worked on making wines that work with food. Mm. So I guess we've been lucky enough that, you know, some sort of understand that that's kind of how we want to have our wine shown, you know, with food. And generally, our wines are, I think 80% of our wines are sold into restaurants. So whether that's overseas, you know, we're in about 14 markets overseas.
Well done.
Actually, it's quite cool. I actually did a little analysis the other day. We're in actually 6 out of the 9 three-star Michelin restaurants in London at the moment. So that's pretty cool. Which is pretty cool for a little winery in the
little winery out of Geelong.
Yes, but correct.
Made by a couple of PhD scientists.
Yeah, well, it's always a bit of a laugh, actually. It's nice. I do like it, actually, to see the wines in and sort of know that there's people all over the world that are drinking it. We just got an export order from Brazil, of all places, the other day.
Okay.
So it was pretty cool. Yeah.
That's fantastic. I love it. So just speaking of the cellar door, is there still a cellar door offering, and when's that open?
Yeah,
what's the process?
So we have two cellar doors. We have one at Lethbridge itself, so that's where the winery is, and we have another one at Port Arlington, which is where the Hat Rock Vineyard is. So depending on whether you're, you know, down at either end, you know, lots of people go on holidays, I suppose, down at, you know, Queensway for Port Arlington or Port Lonsdale, or, you know, down that way, and go out to the Hat Rock cellar door. And that has a very similar offering that we have at both cellar doors. We have a lot of wines because, you know, as I said, we have over 50 wines made every year, but we serve them under Coravin, so you can sort of select a tasting. So, you know, there might be, you know, a reserve wine tasting or a single vineyard tasting or a Il Modo tasting or a Between Five Bells tasting, and you can just choose one that you want. So you can get a bit of a look through our range.
So with the long weekend coming up, there might be people heading down to the Bellarine. Will you be open Saturday, Sunday and Monday potentially, or do you know?
It's probably a little bit out of my pay grade, but I'm fairly sure we're open the whole weekend. I think the best thing is just jump on the website. It's pretty much updated with our opening hours on a regular basis. So we were actually shut on yesterday down at the Bellarine because we were picking fruit down there, and so we had our members pick day.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, right.
So we had over 40 people helping us bring in the harvest.
Do they get paid in wine and lunch?
They get lunch and lots of wine, and you know, and the warm glow of knowing that they've helped make something.
Fantastic, and then the warm glow of knowing they will have to buy it in about 2 years' time when it's in bottle.
Oh, you don't have to do anything.
No,
you're offered to buy it.
You've got the opportunity. Yes. Well, that sounds like a fun thing, and I bet you'd get the usual suspects coming back each year.
Well, it's really nice, actually, because, you know, we've got quite a few really welded on people to the sort of Lethbridge family, and, you know, they always come and help us, and there's, you know, people that have been helping us for over 20 years, which is really nice, actually. It's really, really lovely to see them.
I love that story. If we just run through the ranges that people can have a look at.
Of course, there's Lethbridge, as we were talking about, there's Between Five Bells, and then I guess to sort of indicate also the incredible long story arcs that we work on, there's our Nattison Collis sparkling wine, which is at the moment 4 wines strong, but I'm just making a Blanc de Noir this year from 100% Pinot Meunier, but at the moment it's Inception, which is a non-vintage wine, which it was made in 2018. The primary 80% is 2018 Blanc de Blanc, so 100% Chardonnay, and the 20% comes out of a Solera that we've been working on for 21 years.
Wow.
So that's pretty cool. So I think Mike Benny wrote up a little article saying that if you haven't had Chalosse champagnes, but you can have a chance to see a Nattison Collis. It's the closest you'll get to in the Southern Hemisphere. So that was kind of cute of him. It's that sort of more rich oxidative style. So that's a non-vintage Inception. Then we have Millésime, which is, I think the current release is the 2011. So that's had, you know, 10 years on, well, maybe 9 years on point.
I think year 11 might be sold out. So.
All right. Well, there you go.
Well, for us.
And then we have Coda, which is the just the pure Solera.
Yep.
And then we have the Sagnetta Rosa, which is to be released in March. So we're actually going to have a big release of these sparklings in May, I think. So there'll be a whole range. So maybe the new Millésime will be out then.
So do you have a newsletter that people can sign up to get heads up on these sorts of things? Because that sounds fascinating.
Absolutely. So just join our mailing list, really. So just if you wander over to lethbridgewines.com, you can join up on them online for our offers and whatever. And, you know, we invite people to come and, you know, try the wines. We have a big event in October, which gets, you get to taste, 20 or 30 of the wines that we're releasing in the next offering. Mm-hmm. And then there's one other group of wines, which it would be remiss of me not to mention, and that's our 100% amphora wines, and what I talk about is my climate appropriate wines, because one of the things about Australia, I think, is that we've got incredibly large variety of climatic conditions where we can grow grapes. Unfortunately, we seem to want to try to grow the same grapes in all of them. And I always talk about the fact that if Australia had been invaded by the Italians, this wouldn't be so. We'd have grown perhaps more Italian varieties in the warmer places southern Italian varieties in the warmer places, and we'd be growing, the appropriate cool varieties in the cool places like, around Melbourne and Adelaide Hills and places like that, which are cool. But, we would have been growing, southern Italian varieties like Aglianico, Fiano, Greco, Sagrantino in the warmer places. So what we've done is we've been working with Ashley Ratcliffe and also the Chalmers, and we've worked with Aglianico, Fiano, Greco, Sagrantino, Nero d'Alva, all these sort of things. And we make them 100% in amphora. So we've sort of got eight or nine 800 litre amphoras. And so they've made old school styles. They're very beautifully textural wines. Really good with our sort of food that, we get to eat in Australia.
It's fantastic. Must be so much fun for you as a winemaker, all these little techniques and things to try and having now the, the support of the brand to try things. And obviously I can't imagine anything gets out the door that Ray's not happy with, so...
No, it doesn't happen. No, but it's great. I mean, like it's a real team effort here too. There's 10 of us here, and Marie's the executive winemaker. So there's nothing gets past the door if Marie doesn't like it. And it's often, the standing joke around here is, I'll do something, I'll make a blend or whatever, or I finished a wine and I'm really thrilled with it, and I'll run it up to Marie and I'll say, hey, what do you reckon? And she looks at me and goes, is that the best you can do? And I go, gee, I thought it was pretty good.
Do you know what that makes me think is like when you get ready to go out and your mum goes, are you wearing that? It's like, and you go, oh, okay, I'll go back and have another look at what I can do.
It's really quite funny, actually. So, but I mean, it's great. I mean, Marie's got an incredible palate, and one of the things that we must recognise is that women generally have better palates than men, because if you think about it, from the days of hunters and gatherers, men went out and killed some animal and you could eat it because it was fresh and no one got sick from that. But the women had to go out and, gather things. And often, if you think about it, they'd have to taste it or smell it or make a decision whether that was, edible or not. So we have been designed slightly differently. I think in general, you'll find all super tasters are actually women, not men.
Yeah, that comes through so often, so it must be true. I agree. Ray, thank you. So we go to lethbridgewines.com, sign up to the newsletter, then you get the heads up on the sparkling release in May, the tasting event in October. If you join up and sign up to the to be a member, then you obviously have opportunities like the picking day and things like that. So you've got to build a great little community, or, burgeoning community around the brand, mate.
Oh, look, I'm really happy about it, and it's been, you know, it's been a long journey, and you know, many of these people have been part of nearly all of it, and it's really lovely actually for us. It's that sense of community too, which we really enjoy.
Yeah, well, more power to you, and keep doing it. Thank you, Ray. We will chat again soon, I'm sure. But lots been going on since we last did, so. Exciting. So,
no worries.
Good luck with the rest of Vintage 24, hey?
Yep. Got to get back on the forklift.
Good one. Right, mate. Thank you.
Bye.
See you, Ray. Bye.